Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
So glad that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. And if you've been with us this week, we're doing a study really on sanctification, on the life of sanctification, on that separateness that God calls His people to reflect and to be in the world as those who are living in the light and not in the darkness, as those who have been brought out of the darkness and into the light. And one of the motivations that we've been considering here in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, one of the motivations for the Christian to pursue righteousness, to pursue holiness, is to consider what the life of darkness really is like. And when you're in the darkness, you don't really realize it. Your conscience can become seared, you can become darkened. And when you're brought out and you have a clear understanding of the grace of Christ and His wonderful work of salvation and what you're set free from. Remember, we've looked at that this week, that the truth, Jesus said, you shall know the truth and it shall set you free. You are to reckon to yourselves what has already been reckoned to you by Christ. You are reckoned to yourselves to be dead to sin but alive. Now that that's all been opened to you and you've been conveyed out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light as a Christian, Paul's saying, consider what it really is like in the darkness. Do you know? This I say, therefore, and testify, Ephesians 4:17, in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Paul calls their minds futile. He says they're living according to the flesh because their minds are controlled by it. And here he's saying the mind is controlled by the sinful nature. And it leads to this path, as the apostle said, of hardening, a hardening path in the heart. The word means to petrify, as applied to joints in the knees or elsewhere. And Paul employs it to speak of the heart. And then he brings us in verse 19 to the most painful reality. He says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. What does he mean by past feeling? The word here means to lose all sensitivity, like skin becoming leprous. Now that's the basic path of walking in the darkness. The mind is principled and controlled by whatever the sinful nature lusts after, and the more and more that's pursued, the more and more one walks in sin, the more and more one walks in darkness, the heart hardens to a certain point when one is past feeling, meaning their conscience is seared. They don't even feel it. They don't even consider it to be sin. That's what you want to recognize about a sinful pattern in life, is that it never sits static. It's going somewhere. And if it's not repented of and you don't turn and you're in the darkness and you're outside of Christ, you're getting to a point where you will be past feeling and it will be too late. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we tell others, come to Christ. You can have a life of freedom. You can be broken of that. You can know true happiness, because no one is truly fulfilled in the darkness. No one is truly happy in the darkness. And that's when the gospel becomes so beautiful, because you have been, as a Christian, bought with the blood of Christ. And the whole drive of your life, the whole bent of your life, is now to be an image bearer, to be renewed in true righteousness and holiness into the image of Jesus Christ. The Bible always sets the line of demarcation between these two lifestyles very strongly. It's defined to the point that you either belong to one or the other. And the differences between the two kingdoms are so radically different that it would be the greatest insult to God to dangle into the things which you have now died. That's what Paul's saying here. After everything he's outlined, the utter perversity and the hopelessness, For one who takes up the name of Jesus Christ to live in the darkness, Paul is now motivating us to holiness. Now, I suppose it's important to say, if you're listening today, you know, you look at your life and you see a lot of sin. And if you're a Christian, that can be distressing, can't it? Can a believer fall into periods of sin and rebellion? Can there be besetting sins? Sure. He will struggle against these things until he dies, but he's in the struggle. A child of God, the message of the Bible is, cannot continue in the path of sin. They can't live in the sin. They're not going to be comfortable in the sin. They're not going to be happy in the sin. They're going to be miserable because the Lord's heavy hand, as David talked about in the Psalms, these bones that you have broken, God crushes us so that we are unsatisfied in the sin until we come back to Him, until we return to our Father. But again, if one has been made alive, as shown in the Bible, it is a whole new way of life. It is to be a life of victory in the Holy Spirit. It is to be a life of putting to death the deeds of the body by the power of the Holy Spirit, mortifying the deeds of the body so that you will live. And Paul explains that here. He explains that now, and he says, look, you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Notice the focus. You've not learned Christ that way. You've not learned Him that way. He is not thinking of Zacchaeus, come into your house to dine with you. He has not saved your soul as a Christian, shaped you after his life, loved you, pursued you, given his life for you, shed his blood for you so that you would continue in darkness because he is pure. He is holy. He wants you recreated into his image. If his special electing love and grace has come to you, every week he teaches you from his word. He has opened your hearts and minds to him. So that you see the folly of sin, you see the folly of walking in the darkness, then you see what he's doing for you. You've not learned Christ so that you would remain in the darkness. You have been given the light not to walk in that path of darkness. You've been saved and set apart for a different purpose. And that is to put off the old man that lives, the old sinful nature. The old man was killed in Christ. The old sinful nature is still there. You are to put off the old sinful nature, the sins of the body that you struggle with, and flee to Christ. Grow in Christ. You've not learned Christ that kind of way, but in the newness of the Spirit. And you've been taught by him. So he didn't go through all the agony he went through for us to live in the darkness. And he didn't go through all the pain and affliction for us to continue in the things to which we are now ashamed as Christians. And so our living is driven by the love of Christ. And that's the real point I want to make here on Abounding Grace this week. Our living, our sanctified living, our choices should be driven not because I fear condemnation, but because Christ has loved me to this degree, and I'm called to live out the very love that he's accomplished for me in his life, death, and resurrection. Now, we're being formed back into the image of Christ. Paul says that in verse 23, by being renewed in the spirit of our minds. That's a present verb that tells us that this is a process in our lives. Renewal is something constant, and we're in constant need of it. It's something that is happening continually. And in Romans chapter 12, he also said something similar. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You hear what he said? Instead of loving the world, he says your responsibility in the Christian life, and this is a present tense in the Greek, let yourselves be continuously transformed. You see the responsibility that we have in sanctification? Do we get nervous about talking about what we have to do? We do so in sanctification. And in sanctification, after God has justified you, you have this great response, this great responsibility, as the Spirit lives within you, to be continuously transformed. How so? Well, our eyes have to be fixed on Christ. That's what Hebrews tells us. We have to be fixed in His Word. We have to come and delight to hear the gospel preached to us, delight to be transformed by its power. And as we live out the implications of what has transformed our minds, we are going to be refreshed and grow more in our understanding of His great love that He has lavished upon us from another country. So the resources, the tools that we have is what? The Word and prayer. You'll notice that the goal of renewing our minds is that we would do what in Romans 12? Prove what is the good and acceptable will and perfect will of God. What's the will of God? Well, I know there are a lot of people out there who say they receive dreams and visions and these sort of things. God doesn't speak that way today, by the way. You're never going to be told to go here or go there. You're never going to hear a voice of God directly. God has told us plainly in Hebrews that He used to speak that way. He used to do those kind of things. But in these last days, He has spoken to us in His Son, through His Son. And His Son is the Word. And that's why we have an infallible, complete Word of God given to us. That's where we discern the acceptable and perfect will of God. So then, as we are transformed in the renewing of our minds by the washing of the water through the Word, as the Word corrects our lives, we are then given a path forward. The Word directs us so that we would live holy and blameless lives before Him. It instructs us. It equips us that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And as we are fixed on Him in His Word, we then pursue that perfect and acceptable will which He has told us in His Word. As we lean upon Him in prayer, that's how we're transformed. And so I ask today, do we as Christians prove what is that good and acceptable will of God? What place does the Word have in us? Do we immerse ourselves in His Word? If not, how then will your mind be renewed if you will not hear Him through the preaching and the teaching of the Word? As we do this, we begin to demonstrate who we are in our sanctification, that we are thankful to God for His mercies. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Listen to this today. It's so important. We'll close on this note. I live what I am because I don't have to earn anything. But it drives me because Christ gave His life to show gratitude, to show thankfulness, as a wonderful way of expressing how thankful I am that God would deliver His only begotten Son to save a wretch like me. That's the gospel, that He did that. And as Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus, knowing my sinful self, knowing the choices I've made in the past, knowing all these things, to think that Christ could love a sinner to that degree and set him free. Well, if that doesn't motivate us to holiness, what will? The issue then is that our hearts aren't changed, and we need the Lord to change us. Dear friend, have you come to Christ? Is your life lived in misery and in darkness and in blackness and in futility of mind? There's no happiness in that. You must come to Jesus. His truth will set you free so that you would now live a life of holiness. Be holy, said the Lord, for I am holy. I'd like to invite you tomorrow night, Thursday, April 8, to the Langley Canadian Reformed Church at 7:30 p.m. as I will be speaking on a conference on evangelism, and the next night at the Abbotsford Canadian Reformed Church at 7:30 p.m. as I too will be delivering another lecture on evangelism. Love to see you there and to meet you. Again, this has been Abounding Grace, a ministry of the United Reformed Church of Linden. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com to learn more about us and who we are. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.